everyone. Thank you for joining us. Daryl Urbanski here, your host as always. Today, we are joined by Steve Cypress. He is a 35-year in-the-trenches entrepreneur and one of Dan Kennedy's top no BS marketing advisors. He's helped thousands of business owners outsell bigger competitors with smarter systems, not bigger budgets. As founder of AI Growth Wizards, Steve leads the human plus AI revolution, turning forgotten dead leads into booked jobs without ads, chasing, or risk. His proprietary hidden goldmine wizard revives lost revenue buried in CRMs across roofing, remodeling, and home service industries. A results-driven marketer, speaker, and dealmaker, Steve builds profit engines that scale fast, pay only for performance, and keep small business owners winning big. I've asked him to join us here today to share his story as well as some insights on how we can all perform better. So, Steve, thank you so much for joining us, my friend. How are you?
I am doing absolutely fantastic, though.
Steve, you've had a really illustrious career. And one of the things I want to ask is, how did you even get into this? I mean, I mentioned Dan Kennedy. You're both sort of from the same area in Arizona. Is this something your parents were into and you're just carrying the torch? Or how did you even get started?
Yes. My parents were big into AI, and their grandparents actually taught it to them when they came off the boat at Ellis Island. Yeah, no. So, well, sort of, because my mom was a school teacher. And so what I've done is she drilled it into us when we were little. You have a moral obligation, or I don't think she said moral, S.J. Abraham. She said, you have an obligation when you learn something to teach it to somebody else. And so it was always teach it to someone else. And so very early on, when I was still in school, actually, my last year of law school, I turned my hobby into a business, grew that to a multi-million dollar business, largest in the industry, big success. And people started asking me, how'd you do it? What'd you do? How'd you do this? And I just, for years, I would just give out advice, teach, like my mom always said, just teach other people, until years later, I had somebody that said to me, hey, Steve, do you know, there's people that get paid to give business advice like you always do with me. She's like, I love it. You're great. You helped me build this. It was a salon. She had more than triple the revenue. Did you know there's people that get paid for this? I'm like, what? Yeah, they're called business coaches. I was like, what? Huh? What? Are you kidding? I mean, I could actually get paid to teach. See, my mom, you're asking my story. I will tell you, my mom was a school teacher and she griped forever about how teachers make no money, because that's the gripe still to this day. That's the gripe. Teachers don't get paid. They make no money. My mom was a teacher of English as a second language. So these people came to America, refugees, not a penny in their name. Their parents, you know, war-torn, whatever, every few years, another war-torn area. The war
in Japan, that could be a tough slog.
Well, and we were in New York, so that's where they come. But they don't speak, a lot of them didn't speak a word of English, had no money, had no anything. And my mom would have them in every single class for sometimes a year or two until they were able to participate in class. Not like today where they speak multiple languages. They cater to the kids. Back then, it was like, no, you can't go into class until you can speak English. So, I mean, they lived with us. My mom tutored them every day. She was like their second mom. She never believed in handouts, but she would always give them work to do so she could pay them. They were babysitting. They were painting something. They were landscaping. They're doing whatever they could do. You know, that's how I grew up. And so it was, whole life was about teaching, sharing, helping other people. And when Joanne said this to me, there's people called business coaches that get paid for this. I was like, what do you know? And when I found out that, man, in other words, I had to tell my mom, I said, Mom, I hate to break it to you, but teachers can get paid really well. It just depends who you're teaching and what you're teaching. If I teach millionaires how to make millions of dollars, or business owners how to make millions of dollars, they pay me a lot of money. So it's the best of both worlds. I love teaching and I can also make really good money, unlike my mom who loved teaching and never made any money. And then my dad was a salesperson and later an entrepreneur. He left his company and he was selling stuff on his own. So I'm like the perfect mix of both. So I've always been an entrepreneur and a teacher. I love teaching entrepreneurs. I love being an entrepreneur. I love being a teacher. That's probably a longer answer than you want.
No, but it's fine. And you said that your first business was in law and you grew the largest. It was the largest.
So I did not explain that well. So I had a hobby in my last year of law school. I was always a big sports fan and I got I said, you know what? We're about to graduate and go our separate ways and we'll really never see each other again. So I invented a way to keep in touch. I invented a sports game where we would have to keep in touch with each other. Nowadays, everyone knows this. It's called fantasy sports, and everyone's heard. But back in 1984, no one had heard of this. No one knew what it was. I had to explain it to everybody, including bankers, when I needed to open up my business account and all this kind of stuff. And I invented the game. I said, you know, let's all have a draft, and we'll draft these players, and they'll be as if they're on your team. And then you'll have to call me every week with your lineup. And I'll send out a newsletter and we'll make trades and we'll trash talk. And I mean, everyone now knows that. This is called fantasy sports. And I got my school friends together to do it. And after the second season, the old story, everyone and their brother. Everyone had their brother, their father, their nephew wanted to join. And I'm like, well, we can't have more than X number of people in the league. There's only a certain number of players to go around. So I started a second league. And I said, I'm keeping all the stats. All I have to do is juggle them around a second time. And then, of course, somebody said to me, like, well, can't you do that as many times as you can? And so my business was born. So I turned that hobby into a business. And within 3 years, it became the largest fantasy sports game company in the world. There were a few other people with their other games. Everyone had different rules, different everything. But I had fantastic marketing, probably that I learned a lot about sales and marketing from my dad, and had the best offers and the best everything, and grew that really rapidly. And then I screwed it all up because I really didn't know anything about business. But that was a blast. And
like birthed an entire industry. I mean, that's a massive industry now.
Yeah. Well, thanks. Thanks for rubbing it in. So yeah, I really did screw it up. I really did screw it up. And man, what a life I had though, man. I was like, I get paid to watch sports. I get paid to talk to rabid sports fans. Like I personally took every call. Nobody had a computer back then. I did. In fact, I'm dating myself now, but for people who have any idea or want to like look it up on a search engine, I started the business with a Tandy 1000 computer. With a 10, wait, hang on. I enhanced it with a 10 meg hard drive, external hard drive, a 10 meg. 10 meg, yes. I didn't say 10 petabytes or whatever these things are called now. 10, I don't even think that's like a grainy photo now. Like I ran my entire multi-million dollar business the first year on a 10 meg. Then we celebrated. It was growing so fast. It doubled. And the second year I had to replace it with a 20 meg external hard drive. Holy.
Wow.
I was jumping for joy. Doubled the business and I ran the whole thing off ridiculous 20 meg external hard drive. But I took every call. I entered every lineup. I then went and tabulated every result out of every box score. And I put them all together. And then I went to a copier and I copied out all the newsletters and mailed them out. I mean, it was nowadays, it's a self-driven thing or whatever it's called. It's user UGA or whatever. Like I set my own lineup on the thing. The owner of the company doesn't have to do anything. Oh my goodness. They do nothing and they make billions of dollars. Yeah. I did everything and made no money. But nobody ever said I was smart. Just that's I was having.
So, I mean, that's a fantastic background story because it really shows, like I talk about in the 8 critical success factors, that you had an offer, you had everything going, and it still, you know, you still had to face challenges. So a lot of us were all, oh, I need more leads or I need more sales. But the truth is, it's a multidiscipline endeavor to run a successful business. And I think it's easy.
Well, yeah. And the truth is, a lot of businesses, more sales will kill them, right? I'm sure you've talked about that. Like I, as a marketing advertising sales consultant, have helped, unfortunately, businesses go out of business because I didn't know enough in the early days to ask them, what's your profit margin? You know, what percentage did you make last year? Like they're in the negative.
Yeah.
So flooding them with more customers loses them more money and puts them out of business. And unfortunately, I did that.
Yeah. Or even they used to call it the Oprah effect because Oprah she learned the hard way. She had to be careful because she might have come on her show a couple times and be like, oh, I got this Danish from my favorite bakery around the corner. And they would just get flooded with 10,000 people and they couldn't handle that many orders and the lineups. And people don't give a shit. They don't care. They're like, oh, I had to wait 7 hours for my Danish and it was half cooked. And all these negative reviews pile up. And all of a sudden the business has like 400 negative reviews against the original 35 out of fives that they had at the beginning, all because Oprah mentioned them once and they just got, you know, they just got like mob rushed and nobody cares. Nobody understands from the business owner perspective.
Well, so, then there's the other Oprah effect, which is, hey, they were on Oprah once and they got a flood of whatever and sold a bunch of books and whatever, but they didn't build a list.
Yeah.
They didn't do anything to follow up and it was a one-hit wonder and they're gone.
Yeah. Yeah, that's actually great. Can you expand on that a little bit? What do you mean?
Well, so I had a client years ago because I, being a sports fan, my first career was to go into sports broadcast, play-by-play sports broadcast. So I ran my college radio station and did all the play-by-play and had my call-in show and all that. And I got a job at a local radio station in Boston. I was going to school in Boston. And one of the top DJs who'd been on the air like 20-something years did something and got fired. And he came to me and he said, because he knew I was putting together this very successful business I had that I was also doing. And he came to me and he said, you know, I gotta do something. Like, I can't get hired by another station at my salary. And what am I going to do? And I was like, well, you know, you had X number of hundreds of thousands of loyal listeners every day for 30 years or so. I said, do you have a list of them? And he looked at me as if I had 17 heads. Mm-hmm. And that's when I knew there was nothing I was going to be able to do for him. So he was on the air for 30 years with loyal listeners every single day and never once made an offer to him and said, hey, if you join my VIP, whatever, I'll send you a free hat or t-shirt or whatever, or you can buy a hat or get and made a list of them. So he just, his listeners, he didn't have many more. It's like people who build a Facebook group. That's not your group. That's Facebook's group.
Yeah.
So if they throw you off. So they threw him off the radio station. There goes his list. They had it, not him. They just listened to whoever they replaced him with, right? So I was like, unfortunately, I can do stuff for you, but you're starting from scratch. I can't engage with that audience because you didn't get them onto your list. So you got to build your own list. People have a big Facebook group or, you know, Instagram, I got a million people on Instagram, whatever, like, get them onto your own list. Otherwise, you're asking for trouble.
Yeah, I love that. That's so powerful. So what Steve's saying is your own list means phone number, email, physical address, as best as you can. Because in 2014, I worked with a client. We grew their Facebook following from 30,000 to 300,000 followers. And we were getting a couple of million impressions for every single organic post that we did. And then all of a sudden, January 1st, 2014, Facebook introduced this boost your post feature with paid ads. And our impressions went from a couple, sorry, I said per post, that was per week. We went from 2 to 3 million organic impressions per week to like half a million. And Facebook wanted $700 plus to boost our post to the rest of our audience.
Right,
and
just they want
this,
your money.
And this is 2014, just this year in a business, another business I'm a partner in. I talked to a guy, he's in New Zealand. He's got a 7-figure business. He's been running paid ads and building his Facebook page. And Facebook changed the things. And now he's 100% doubled down on building his own email and contact list. You can import email addresses to invite them to be your friend on LinkedIn, to invite them to follow your Facebook page. You can upload an email list to run paid ads to it, but you cannot take your Instagram followers with you anywhere else. And when you post on these platforms, you're competing with someone's grandma, you know, passing away or their new baby announcement. Like, you don't get that control. But if you have email, text, snail mail is not as quite, I mean, it's better now because it's so quiet, but it's not all mail that gets delivered. But the idea is that you almost guarantee receipt of a text message, of an email, right? Of a snail mail or just going by their house type thing. So that's what Steve's saying when he talks about building your own following, building your own list.
I'm going to add a caveat or a, addendum or whatever it's called, but not only, you know, there's a saying that the money is in the list. So right. Daryl's 100% correct. You got to build a list, but top marketers and sharp marketers really know the money is not in the list. The money is in the relationship.
Yes.
It's not just, I got their name and email and address and whatever. It's, I am loving them. I am giving them great content. My emails are not just buy my stuff. Yep. And they opt out and see it. It's like every time they see an email from me, they're like, I got to open this. Because it's got to have something good in it. So you build that relationship with them. And then you can call on them from time to time and say, you know, I give you lots of good stuff. Now I'm asking for something. Or even better, just do both at once and say, now I got something that's really good and I'm charging X amount for it. But you build a relationship with a list and you'll never want for anything. There's a saying, send all your bills to your list. So we've all been there when an emergency comes in and the car breaks down or the washing machine or somebody, God forbid, needs some medical help or attention or whatever. It's like, send out an email, send out a text, or send out to a list that loves you and offer them something and get some money coming in.
Yeah, but dig your well before you're thirsty. That's a really important thing.
That too.
You know, and I had a martial arts school once upon a time, and I had a guy named Tim, and he came in and he did the demo lesson and he got the 30-day free membership and he never joined. He never paid me a single dime. But I emailed like a weekly newsletter. 8 years later, he was in business with another guy named David. And they contacted me and they ended up paying me something like $35,000 over eight, nine months. But it took 8 years for the right opportunity. So the idea is people buy when they're ready to buy, not when you're ready to sell. And so you just have to stay friends, be in touch. And
it happened all the time when I did my, you mentioned Dan Kennedy. I was Dan Kennedy's number one independent advisor about 15 years ago. And I remember when somebody showed up in one of my meetings and I always asked the new people like how they heard or whatever. And he said, well, I've been getting your newsletter for 6 years, and I finally figured I should show up to one of these. And then, like you said, he upgraded to some kind of coaching. I was like, you know, that newsletter is, of course, I'm not talking about e-zine and e-new. When you talk to me, you might be able to tell by looking at me. I'm talking about print stuff. I'm not talking about your e-zine that everyone just deletes, delete, delete, delete. So I was like, it was a buck a month. I was like, to print it and mail it. Now I think the stamp alone is almost that much. But, you know, it was like a 40-cent stamp and a piece of paper and an envelope. And so $1 a week. And I'm like, for $12 a year, for 6 years, $72 that I just kept mailing and mailing them. And who knew? Like you say, who even knows the guy's reading it, getting it, whatever. And then in came $35,000. To me, it wasn't that much, but it was thousands of dollars. I'm like, do the math. That's pretty good.
Yeah. This is a really important principle because everybody listening to this, you've probably been to a restaurant sometime in the last 30, 60, 90 days. And I bet you walked in and you sat down and you paid the money and you left. And I bet you the restaurant owner has slow times where they're going, how do we get more people in here? And they come with this great idea. Oh, we should do some advertising in this new magazine or maybe that. And they're pushing out to all these people they don't know. It's anybody, how many people here know the story of Acres of Diamonds? Either raise your hand or type yes in the comments. Anybody heard the story Acres of Diamonds? The idea is this guy grows up on a farm. And his whole childhood, he dreams of finding this diamond mine and becoming rich. And when his parents pass away, he inherits the farm. And the first thing he does is he sells it, takes the money and goes traveling around the world to find this diamond mine that he's been searching for his whole life. And years later, I'm paraphrasing. So years later, he's a little broke and desolate, never found it. He's back in his hometown at the diner that he grew up in, eating at as a kid. And he's having his morning coffee and whatever, breakfast. And he's reading the local newspaper, and the guy he sold the farm to found a diamond mine under the land he farmed with his parents all his childhood. So the idea is we all have acres of diamonds in our backyard, but we're looking out. So that means that everybody right now has a contact list, phone numbers, Facebook followers, email list. And if you could go through this list and say, hey, would you or anyone you know be interested in X result? Hey, would you or anyone you know be in a situation, you know, exactly what I said. So, all right, let's turn this back to Steve. When people first come to you, what's often the biggest frustration they have around, you know, growing their business and navigating the AI landscape with it?
Since I'm in the advertising, marketing, sales world, the number one issue that I think is almost universal, people that come to me is it is too complex. Gone are the days when a local plumber just had to put an ad in the Yellow Pages and his phone was ringing all year. Now it's, do I do a Facebook story or an Instagram reel? Do I do a TikTok? Do I do a organic post or paid ads? Do I do a, like, how many ways have we been talking about now? I mean, I created something years ago called the WOW strategy. The first W stands for the who. The most important thing is you got to know who you're talking to so you can put together an irresistible offer to them. That's the O. And then the last W stands for the ways that you'll use to get that irresistible offer in front of that ideal target who. That's the WOW strategy. When you use it right, you'll say WOW, your accountant will say WOW, your banker will say WOW, like all kinds of great things will be happening. But that last part, the way or the ways that you use, just continues to get overly complex. Like, what should I do? There used to be a few ways, then there was dozens of ways. Now there's endless number of ways and more coming all the time. So that's when people come to me is like, especially if they do anything online and all, they're inundated with, you need this shiny object and you need this latest thing and you should do 5-day challenges. No, you should do webinars. No, you should do, you know, masterclasses. No, you should do a summit. No, you should have a blog. No, you should have YouTube videos. The ways just overwhelm people. But even if they could figure out the best way without having the irresistible offer and knowing your target audience and speaking right to them with what they want and what they don't want, none of it matters. All three of those things have to work together.
So where are most people failing in this?
Reminds me, I should have had this thing in the background here. See, a real pro would have had this in the background.
You are a real pro. Don't worry about that. There you go. So where are most people failing in like the WoW strategy? It sounds like, I mean, probably all or a couple of them, but what are they doing wrong? That people that get it.
Mostly failing with that first W, the who. I've heard a few people mention it. I've attended a few of these live. I noticed right away that I could not outdo Pan Vera, my buddy Pan and my client there, who is on every single one of these and engaged and commenting and fantastic and just the greatest person. I've been with everyone, and a number of your experts have said this, that you really, Nick Kuzmich must have said it 50 times. Like, you've really got to know your target, ideal target prospect. That will, everything builds from that. First, and that's the first thing we did together, right, Pan? Like, is you got to really know your ideal target prospect so you can know what they like, what they don't like, so you can give them X without Y. That's a formula for delivering success for a headline. If you have a headline to your talk or your webpage or a social media post or an email that says how to have X without Y, where X is exactly what they want and Y is what they absolutely can't stand when they buy that, then you're really on the road. But to know, you've got to know those two things, right? So you've got to really know them, whoever they are, male, female, tall, short, old, young, whatever it is, you've got to know what keeps them up at night, what they really, really want. So you can give them how to have X. You got my attention now. That's what I really want. But what I really hate is when people do X, Y, and Z. Like, I really want to get a new addition on my house, but I hate the contractors go over budget. They show up late. They stink of smoke. They curse in front of my kids. That's what I don't want. When you really know what they want without what they don't want. So if my headline said, how to have your dream addition on your house without contractors going late or over budget or cursing in front of your kids or stinking like smoke, call me. Man, they're like, how did you know? Steve, how did you know? And now my offer is almost irresistible, almost no matter what it is, because it's exactly what they want without what they don't want.
That is really powerful. People like that? Does that? Any light bulbs going off for people here? I hope so, because that's, you know, this is, there's levers. Everything we do, there's a lever you can pull to increase its effectiveness, like an 80-20, you know, the smallest amount of energy input for a higher output in result. And this is one of those levers, definitely. So how do we find that out, Steve?
Hey, Danielle is here too. I love it. Hi, Danielle. My favorite peeps are here.
We love you too, Steve. So how do we find this out?
And I don't know how you do that, but thank you. How do we find what out?
How do you find out what they want and what they don't want? How do we find out?
Great question. Great question. And again, it's complex because there's good news and bad news. There's a million ways. So how do you find out? Well, first of all, if you have any clients, you can ask them. That's about the most simple, direct, and a powerful way to do it, right? So I have a few clients that I work with over the years or whatever, even if I just helped out, like back in the day when I was helping out Joanne with her salon. She wasn't paying me anything, but I helped her out. And I could have asked her, hey, what'd you like best about the help I gave you? And then I would say, tell me straight, because I'm going to start putting myself out as a business coach, like you suggest. What'd you like least? What would you like more of? What did I do that you would want less of? Everyone here knows that. They want me to shut up more. In fact, everyone came here for the hack. How'd you put it? Like the hack, the shortcut, the this, that, the chat. I don't even think we said the word ChatGPT yet. And we're almost done. And nobody's gotten anything out of it. But I digress.
No, I think we've covered some important principle foundational stuff. That it's not just about leads and sales. That you constantly need to build a list. Brian Kurtz says this, and I love it. He says, not everything is a sales event, but everything is a relationship event. So it's not that the money's in the list, because a lot of people are follower crazy on social media, but it's how many of those people could you call at 2 a.m.? Drayton Bird, one of the all-time, you know, great copywriters, he said a marketing book that's been number one or on the top bestsellers list for 30 years. He says, the purpose of business is to locate a prospect, turn that prospect into a customer, and then to make that customer your friend. And all of this is about relationship building. And that for a lot of people, even if you're just installing pools, a pool is a one-time event. But if you're just trying to live on front-end sales with your business, you don't have a business. You won't have a business very long. It's really tough to survive in business with just a one-time purchase from everybody. If you're installing pools,
well, you can, but you're leaving a lot of money on the table. You'll have 10 or 100 times better business if you have some back end stuff, like the pool guy also gets into pool cleaning.
Pool cleaning. He refers you to a patio builder to make sure, and a landscaper, you know, and hey, do you need a fence? Do you need swim lessons for your kids? Do you need me to winterize your pool? Do you need lawn care? every week around the pool, someone to come rake up the leaves and make sure the pool system runs smoothly, doesn't get clogged full of leaves and stuff. Hey, I noticed your roof is leaking. Do you need somebody that can fix? Now I'm your trusted advisor that's helping you with your life and improve your backyard. I'm not just selling a pool. I'm selling a backyard escape. And this is like, you know, they said the world's first efficiency consultant was helping with the pyramids, and he gets hired to help the pyramid building go better. And he talks to one guy, what are you doing? The guy's like, I'm moving rocks. What are you doing? Get out of here. And the guy's like, okay. And he kind of leaves him. And he goes to the next guy. He's like, what do you think you're doing here? And the guy's like, can't you see? I got to stack these on top of each other. I'm building a pyramid. And he's like, okay, whatever. And he goes to the next guy. And the guy's like, hey, can't you see I'm working? I'm building a legacy. And the idea is like, it's the same work, but how do you see what you're doing with your business? Like, are you just trying to be a Me Too and get your roof and ramen paid? Or are you actually trying to accomplish something? I worked with Michael Gerber for a year, and he just beats that into people's head. Like, what is your why? Why do you show up to work every day? Like, what are you actually trying to do here? You mentioned pay.
I remember when you started working with Michael Gerber, that's when you asked me, since I had worked with Michael Gerber for a year right before.
Yes, that's right. I remember that. He actually just emailed me 2 days ago. So, but I digress. So, all right. So now, how do we find out the who? How do we find out the details that we need? Is this something that we do with AI? Is it something we don't? Like, can we trust AI for the answers? What would you recommend?
Wow, great question. That was a bunch of questions. About the AI one I'll mention. And by the way, part of my story that relates to AI is the fact that I've never been what anyone call a techie, a programmer. Any of that. I always paid people to program stuff. But I have always been an early adopter of technology. I've always been looking for how business owners can, I myself first as a business owner, can deliver bigger and better stuff to my clients, customers, patients, members, whatever it is to you, using technology. So back in my fantasy sports company days where I said how I was answering every phone, with every people telling me the lineups. Well, then I, you know, started making some money. I bought one of those, I forget what it's called. See, I'm not a techie, but it was this phone tree system, which was press one for this, two for that, three for this.
Right.
And so depending on what league you were in, you pressed the buttons and then you left the lineup. So now at least they were organized and all 10 of the lineups for that league were right there at once instead of just haphazard. And then when I delivered I said, I can use this machine to deliver the results. So they don't have to wait 3 days to get their newsletter in the mail. I'm going to go in here and read the results at the end of every week so they can press the same, press one, this, that, get their league. And I'm like, okay. This guy made this trade. This guy picked up this free agent. Sorry, Daryl, you didn't get the guy you wanted. You got the second guy you wanted. You got this guy, not that guy. Here's the results, man. I was using it. I didn't know how it works. I still don't know how it works, but I was always looking to use it. And so I always was upgrading my copiers to print faster and get that stuff in the mail faster, computer answering systems. Long story short, you know, I'll make it a little long because it was kind of funny, but when autoresponders first came out, again, I'm dating myself, but it's a little over 20 years ago, I guess. Autoresponders came out. And I remember the great Corey Rudel. He was only mentioned once so far.
I know, but he keeps coming up.
The greatest. And he had, what was it called? Mail Loop. He had Mail Loop.
Yes.
It was called autoresponder. And I got
this. This is different than the auto reply. This is not, you email someone, you get the auto reply.
Now you're ruining my story.
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I'm kidding. Daryl, you can do it.
It's where you can schedule emails. You send this and then wait and then send the next one. Sorry.
Even though you've kind of ruined the stuff, I'll make it shorter then. But I was teaching using autoresponders back in my Dan Kennedy days about 15, 20 years ago. And I'll never forget, I had a response from somebody who said, because I said, I'm going to be teaching this topic at the next meeting, autoresponders. And he emailed back and said, that's terrible. I like to communicate personally with my people. I would never insult them by using an autoresponder. And I'm like, wow, you know, that.
He said this?
Somebody who clearly didn't like making money or helping people, but didn't show up at the meeting, but that helped me to teach at the meeting, like you said, to clear it up, what an autoresponder should be and should not. I'm not talking about when you email your banker on a weekend and you get back a message that goes, Joe Smith is out of the office. If it's an emergency, call my assistant, Glenda. Like, that's not what I'm talking about, the auto response. I'm on vacation. I'm talking about, Daryl, and you were going to explain, is that I just got in front of my, up in front of my group. I had my monthly membership group. I had like 150 something members, so about 100 would show up every month. And I said, okay, how many people here RSVP'd to attend the meeting by filling out the form? Okay, all the hands go up. We go, how many people think I was sitting at the computer 24 hours a day for the last 3 weeks? And immediately when you RSVP'd, I said, wow, Pam Vera RSVP'd to be there. And I opened up my email and I started typing out, hey, Pam, thanks for congratulations. Here's the address. Here's the time again. It'll be great to see you. And I typed all that out and sent it to you. Well, of course, everyone cracks up and goes, you know, that's, of course, ridiculous. Yeah, that's what an autoresponder is for, right? Mm-hmm. So we all have experienced them. In fact, we're all here on the show. So how many emails have we gotten from Daryl? And I will say that I made a mistake. Daryl gave us a choice of, you know, pick when you want to speak. And I picked Monday, which I will never do again. I know you're going to do this over and over. Hopefully you'll have me back. But I will not pick Monday again because now I don't get to promote like the day before, the day it's the weekend. And second of all, I don't get a hold of you. So I'm getting these emails from Daryl over the weekend. Hey, how's it going? Blah, 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 this and that. I'm responding. I'm like, I'm thankfully, there's no response. Daryl has a beautiful, fantastic family. I don't want him sitting there responding to me on the weekend because I'm like, what time am I on again?
We responded to you.
We just had the time watching. Yeah, you responded this morning. I'm talking my email Saturday, Sunday, no response. Yeah. This morning, I get around. I'm like, good. No, I'm happy, Daryl. This is not a bad thing. This is a good thing. I don't want you responding on a Sunday afternoon when you should be with your kids, like to some ridiculous guy halfway across the world who doesn't remember what time. That's because the clocks shifted. And I live here in Arizona where we don't change the clocks. And twice a year, I screw up all my appointments. I don't talk about trust. I don't trust anything. I'm like, does my calendar know the time shifted? Did I set that appointment based on the right time? What, I don't know what I'm doing. So I was like, I'm writing my email to go out. Hey, I'm going to be speaking at this time on Monday. I'm like, what time is it? I don't remember. I got to ask Daryl. And thankfully, I didn't get a response. I got auto responder messages of like, hey, your talk is in 2 days. Hey, this and that. That's what an auto responder is for. It's so that you can communicate with lots of people in a timely fashion. But you don't have to sit there and type out every single one. And in fact, that's how AI is best used also, so that you don't have to do everything. You don't have to look everything up. You don't have to plan everything. You don't have to come up with all the ideas. You shouldn't. I hope everyone here knows not to. And that if we ever get to my talk, that's kind of the point of my talk, is not to just take whatever AI gives you as the final draft. Everything it gives you always is a rough draft, but gives you a rough draft. You never again, thanks to AI, have to start with a blank piece of paper and go, I don't know, what kind of email should I send? Like you said, right, Daryl, if you're not sure, if you've never had a client to finish that answer about the who, if you're brand new in business and you've never had a client yet, you can ask Claude, what, you know, ChatGPT, Grok, any of them. Say, yeah, I'm starting XYZ type of business. Who should my ideal client be?
Yep.
And again, you don't take it, you know, whatever they say is gospel, but it's a start.
Yeah, that's powerful. And you can cross-check them. So there's DeepSeek, which is a free one that's out of China. Gemini is Google's. They have a free plan. Grok is Elon Musk. It has a free plan. ChatGPT, I guess they all have free plans now too. You mentioned Claude. There's Perplexity. There's Uncensored AI. You know, just like in most cases, you want to check the answers and you want to almost cross-check the AI outputs that you're getting as well.
And if somebody is listening to the replay of this like 3 days from now, there's probably three new ones.
Yeah, there's probably three new ones. That's right. That's right. That's right. So what's the core of your new plan? How do we use this differently?
I'm glad you asked. In other words, hey, Steve, start the presentation.
Sure.
All right. So, I'm going to start it what I thought was going to be a roundabout way. Let me share the screen here. But I just want to make sure everyone's on the same page. And just to start with, can I see the chat? I have to click on the chat, right? Look at all these. Oh, my goodness. Am I supposed to be reading this? Oh, I hope. If there's any problem, I hope someone's taking care of it because I wasn't even looked at this. I apologize. Pan, thank you. I see Pan's thing here, but it says jump to the latest. Anyway, so I just want to know who's here. It'll help me out to deliver the best I can to you. Put into the chat a 1, 2, or 3 where you see yourself, be honest, please, where you see yourself as a chat. You know, we're not talking about AI images. We just, like Daryl just mentioned, a few of these LLMs, they're called, these large language models, right? ChatGPT, Claude, Grok, Perplexity, Copilot, whatever they are. You know, one is Ruthie's already answered. Thank you. One would be like, you know, relatively newcomer, newbie, infant. Two would be kind of intermediate. You know, I use it a lot, but not sure it's not as good as I can. Three is, Steve, compared to you, you know, you don't know anything. I am an absolute pro, knock down, drag out. I'm an expert on everything about AI. I'll give you a hint. I'm not that. So we got a couple of twos, two to three. Oh, Danielle, two to three. I like it. See, now Danielle's a teacher. Now Danielle's actually a teacher. She's actually paid to be a school teacher. And so she knew that like three choices aren't enough. I got to put two to three. You didn't say that one, Steve. Thank you. And Doug Morneau is here. Doug didn't do it for that reason. Doug did it just to bust my chops. So thank you, Doug. The great Doug had to put in a non-choice that I gave. So I'm going to say overall, we got a bunch of twos here. So good. That's kind of where I am too. So we're all in this game together. So let me go and I'm going to share my screen. How many people are familiar with this saying? This is... I don't know who this is. So again, you're way above me if you've ever heard of Max Tegmark. But apparently he's a professor of something and co-founder of something else. But the key thing is he said, what I think everyone here knows, right? We're not being replaced by AI. I mean, lots of people are afraid of that in the world, but hopefully not people here. People here understand we're being assisted by AI. The future is not man versus machine. Oh, it's taking over. Oh, the Terminator. Oh, what's coming to get me? Well, maybe in the near future, but not right now. Right now, it's man with machine versus a problem. So we're not going to be replaced by AI, but we have a danger of being replaced by people who are really good at using AI. So I suggest you want to become one of those, right? Are people, I think when I share the screen, I can't see the chat anymore. Can you, Daryl? Can anyone? People familiar with this?
Just be nice to the AI. So when it takes over, you get spared. We got a bunch of using it.
Well, now you're jumping ahead. See, whoever's saying that has already seen the second half of my entire presentation because it is two slides and two slides only. So my second question is, other than whoever said that, because that person is a yes, anyone else familiar with this tweet or whatever it's called now, this X thing on X about six? What are they called? Does anyone know? Anyway, that's another topic for another day. I don't know. I re-X'd. I don't know what they're called. So I'll still call it a tweet. But these are from about 6.5 months ago. Just some random Tommy, who knows who that is, goes on and says, I wonder how much money OpenAI has lost. That's the people that, you know, run ChatGPT. In electricity costs from people saying please and thank you to their moms. Kind of a sarcastic, kind of throwing it out there. And the CEO of OpenAI, Sam Altman. Who, by the way, obviously brilliant, you know, being the CEO of this thing. But does anyone know? He has no equity. He has zero equity. You know, well, this company they just got another like $500 billion in funding. The guy took zero equity so he could remain just loving everybody. I'm like, oh my goodness. But anyway.
Not about that so much. Elon Musk gave him $100 million to found it. It's called OpenAI because it was supposed to be open source AI.
Yeah, there's all that back and forth nonsense. But technically, he has no equity in the company. You can ask AI about it.
Okay.
But he did come on and say, kind of tongue-in-cheek, tens of millions of dollars. Well spent, however, you never know. There's the nod right to Arnold Schwarzenegger coming to annihilate us. But here's the thing. So this Tommy in Love here mentioned the electricity costs. Do people know the other major big costs of these AI companies?
Then electricity?
Yeah. Even Daryl. I was sure Daryl knew.
Data servers?
Somebody knows. Somebody knows. Any of those two or three people know, right? Where's the chat? I don't see any answers yet. I don't know how delayed this is. Okay. Well, I don't know how many people are in the world of physical hardware computers, but these massive server farms and data centers, as Doug points out, run on lots of electricity and then they heat up and they need to be cooled. So there is a ton of water being used. And maybe I am very aware of that living in Arizona in a desert state with all these massive data centers popping up all over the place and people are worried out of their minds. Holy crap, we barely have enough water to live. We're booming and growing like crazy. That's the number one issue here always in Arizona is, do we have enough water, and how we should have less golf courses and you can't water your lawn and replace it with fake grass. And now in come these data centers using tons of electricity and tons of water to cool them. So actually, there are two major costs to them, is the electricity and the water. However, my point is that there's a lot of cost, right? AI is, again, I'm not the expert on it. I didn't look it up today or this morning, but they're losing money hand over fist. It's kind of similar to that dot-com boom, bubble, bust, whatever, of 25 years ago, where companies are valued at billions and millions of dollars and getting all these investors, but actually they're not making any money. Or Amazon, for how many years before anyone know? How many years Amazon before they turned a profit, right? So that's kind of the model here of these big AI companies, is they're in a race and they're attempting to monetize. I mean, I pay $20 a month. However, that doesn't put a dent in the money, as Sam Altman admits to here. They are costing themselves every day, every prompt, everything. And that's the crux of my talk here, is every time you have any kind of back and forth with any LLM, Claude, Grok, ChatGPT, and whatever, it's costing them money. They are losing money in electricity and water costs and lots of other things. So let me ask a question. Who here believes, and I don't have this for a fact, Sam Altman, not to my knowledge, has come out and admitted this one. How many people believe that the people programming and training these models all know that every prompt they're losing money? How many believe that these trainers, these programmers, are made aware of this by Sam Altman and the people leading all these companies? Hey, do whatever you can to conserve resources. We're losing money on every prompt. So you know what? The goal is expend the least amount of resources possible to give an answer that the user will accept and go away. Does that make sense to anybody?
Yeah, that makes
sense. By the way, I didn't come up with that. Somebody taught me that, they postulated that to me. And I said, you know, that of course makes sense, right? Sam Altman would tell the programmers, hey, look, when someone asks a question, I don't care how involved and deep you could answer it, do not answer it real surface-like. And if they say, oh, thank you, oh, thank you, that saved us some money. We do not want them challenging it, asking more of a question. So I want everyone to keep that in mind. Now, almost nobody here, except for Ruthie, I remember, was an infant. Everybody else has used this stuff. Does anyone notice how, no matter what you ask, it gives you an answer, and then it will change the subject? It will immediately go, you know, if I say, like, write me an email about blah, 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 it'll say, here's the email. Now, do you want me to write a Facebook post to go along with it? I'm like, not so fast. I know what you're doing. And now everyone here knows what it's doing. You're trying to conserve resources by having me just accept that email as a great email. Hey, you know, I'm getting a little ahead, but I'll stick on this. And then just go on to the Facebook post. Yeah, let's do that. No. We do not do that. Right, Danielle. And it says, and no matter what you ask, it'll say, like, that's a great idea. Why? Right on. Way to go. And it's trying to get you to accept what it gave you. The key is, do not accept whatever it gives you. Now, I heard a couple of the presenters on here kind of gave away my whole presentation there. Tom Mattson was the first one. I'm a business partner, Tom, and I shared it in a mastermind group I'm in with him. And he told me, and the light bulbs went off with everybody, changed everyone's life using AI. And then he said, I've been telling everybody. And then I think it was Leanna that came on and said the same thing. And Daryl chimed in and said, yeah, you know, get it to do better. That was basically my whole presentation, was the simple two-word phrase to get ChatGPT to do better is, no matter what it gives you, you tell it, do better. See what I did there? That anticipation. Mm-hmm. That's it. You want it to do better, just say, do better. And I'll tell you a little story with that one. We talked earlier about how I'm just going to say it straight out, how I wasted 3 years of my life. See, Brent, I love it. Thank you, Brenda. See, the light bulb's already gone off. So, and I'm going to show you an example of it soon if we have any time left now. And I haven't even started.
We got time.
Where when I was in one of my years in law, I don't remember which one, I got a summer job as a clerk, an intern, a summer intern in a law firm in downtown Chicago, Boston, where I went to school, Boston College Law School. And I had, you know, worked my way through high school, college, doing every blue collar, low down, dirty, you know, minimum wage job that possibly was. I mean, everything. I cleaned out, you know, rusty pipes from the back of whatever and swept the floors in the factories and fast food and this and that, pump gas, dating myself again. Yes, there was a day where there was no self-serve gas. There was a guy actually like me came and pumped the gas and wiped the windshield. I did all this stuff. Well, I got this job. Someone told me when I was in my first year of law school, you know, for the summer, you don't have to do any of that crap anymore. Get a job with a law firm. They pay really good money, which back then I think was $8 or $10 an hour, unheard of. It was $3.15 to work in fast food. $8 or $10 an hour to sit in a cushy air-conditioned office, just sit there all summer and be a clerk. And then you even have something on your resume. I'm like, no, I don't want to be a lawyer. Let's not go that far. But anyway, holy crap. So here I was. I got this job and I quickly decided and realized what the point of this first assignment was. But one of the partners in the firm that my boss that I was clerking for gave me an assignment. He said, okay, I have this case. It was a, you know, a, I don't even remember what it's called now, where they try cases. And because most lawyers never see the inside of a courtroom, right? But this guy was a courtroom lawyer. And he said, I need a brief on this topic. Give me 5 pages on this topic. And there was no, again, internet, right, computers, whatever. Go to the library. So I had to go to the library, which I hated, sit in the library, read law books all day, and write 5 pages. I hated this. And so I, you know, banged out some piece of crap, 5 pages of nonsense crap, whatever, and brought it to him on the day he said he wanted it by whatever. And that day I showed up, I said, here's the thing. Taught me a lesson I never forget. And it's very appropriate to what I'm teaching here about AI. He didn't even look at it. He put it on his desk. He looked me right in the eye and he said, are you sure this is the best you can do? Mm. Holy crap, my whole life flashed in front of me, right? I mean, we all know what races through your mind and what seems like an hour is like 1 second. I'm like, holy crap, I'm going to lose the most cushy. What do I say? I mean, if I say yes and he reads it, he either knows I'm an idiot or I lied. And if I say no, then he knows I'm lazy and I gave him crap and I suck and I'm going to get fired and I'm going to lose this cushy job and I'm going back to sweeping factory rusty floors and holy crap, this sucks. I don't even know what I said. But he just looked at me and said, I just taught you a very important lesson. Okay. I bill out at whatever, you know, Mr. Bill, I bill out at X amount an hour. My time is valuable. I'm not even going to read this until you tell me it's the best you can do. And I can tell by your hesitation it's not. So I want you to go back, redo it, and bring it to, it was like a Friday, and bring it to me Monday, and make sure it's the best you can do. And holy crap, I was so thankful I still have my job. I probably spent the whole weekend in the library. And long story short, I say that because I want you to get the point. Whenever you're working with AI, you want to be that guy. Okay, so I'm going to do a little demonstration here, and you're going to see how this works. Or maybe you're already doing it on your own on the side.
That's great. But I love that. Because you wouldn't do that with staff. You wouldn't want to be doing that with everyone because you'd feel like a dick if you're constantly challenging.
No, that guy taught me a fantastic, great lesson. I was trying to skate through like I did with everything back then, with where I don't know how many other people went through school like I did, where I was always really good at tests and studying fast. And I wanted to read the least possible and pull an all-nighter the night before and study for the test one day. And, you know, I wanted to do the minimum. And that taught me a big lesson, right? So, but here's that, this is how we work with AI now, is I was trying to say, when you, I'll first show you this and you'll see what happens, how we can get it to do better and better. When you get really good at this, I want you to remember that story I just told. And I want you to get into the habit of saying to ChatGPT, let's just use that as an example, whatever you want to say to it, no matter what it gives you, don't even read it. Don't, your time is too valuable. Just say, are you sure that's the best you can do? And if you're all doing it right now, I assure you, the answer is something like, you know, you're right, I could do better. Or you're right to push me because this is important to you, blah, blah, like that. It'll kiss your butt. It's a people pleaser. So it'll want, and it'll do better. So you can, I could do the, you know, I was just going to share my screen with ChatGPT and just show you this. I was going to work, you know, work with somebody here. We're kind of, are we out of time? Yep. Do
we? No, we're good. We got time.
All right. Well, then I'm going to stop the share on this, on my entire 2-slide presentation. And I'm going to go into the.
I think it's a great lesson for AI, for working with people, for vendors. I used to, every time I go, like I get an ice cream, I go to Dairy Queen. I go, I'll have this one. And I want the best one you've made today. I always say that.
Very smart. Very smart. Much smarter than me. See, much. I never do that.
No, no. Come on, Steve. It's not a competition.
What? I never do that.
I'd win if it was.
I never do that, but I admire people that do, like in a restaurant. I sit there and go, I want it medium rare with this on the side and a little bit of that. And I'm like, I'll have the whatever. Like, I don't do that. So I don't, you're right. I don't respect myself enough to get the best result. I want you to get the, everyone here, I want you to get the best results, man. Can people see my screen here with the ChatGPT?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So number one rule, first of all, never to get the best results I'm talking about, never just start chatting in general with ChatGPT. Now you have to be on the, unless you're not, you don't have $20. Hopefully everyone here is a business owner. So hopefully you're willing to invest $20 to get exponentially better results and make money with this stuff. You can see on the bottom left here, if you can, that I'm plus ChatGPT plus $20 a month. Okay. That's like $1 a day for every business day of the month. So, you know, if that's too much, then yeah, stick with the free one. But that allows you to go here to the custom GPTs. Always use a custom GPTs, my number one suggestion, so that ChatGPT is not just gathering from wherever it wants to get stuff everywhere in the entire history of the universe. Well, history is where, but the whole vast expanse of the universe. which I saw some interview with someone from one of these companies, and they said, yeah, 40 of our content came from Reddit before we realized to hire humans and get in there and audit this thing and retrain it. Like, if you want 40 of what ChatGPT is giving you to be based on what people say on Reddit, then you clearly are not here because you don't want the best results. You don't really care about making money. See, and here's the number one, I was going to share this, I'll share it now. The number one secret of getting results with AI, with any of the chats, like Grok, Claude, whatever, is the complete opposite of how most people look at it. And I won't use any names, but I've seen people, experts, brilliant experts, or they wouldn't be in Darryl's Summit, on the summit over the last couple of weeks with this frame of mind. And I caution you not to have this frame of mind. I'll put it this way. I am extremely, extremely results-oriented. I am so results-oriented, in fact, that somebody once told me, I said, Steve, I know you. You are not results-oriented. You are results-driven. I'm like, okay, I guilty as charged. I'm like, I don't give a crap about what you think of me, whether you like me. If I did, do you think I would look like this? Like, look at me. I mean, I clearly don't care about, you know, I mean, I did shave, I think, in the last couple of days or something, or like, what? No, I don't care. I care about results. Okay. So what I do not care about, which is where people get, unfortunately, off track into the wrong goal and don't make the money you should make, is you are time motivated. We are taught to be time motivated. AI will save you time. It does, because it does. It does things quickly. If I say, I don't want to read War and Peace, give me a 100-word synopsis of the book. I got a test tomorrow. Like, bang, it read War and Peace in 1 second and gave you the synopsis. Like, wow, it saved me a lot of time. Again, the trouble I got into back as a student and an intern in law school when I like trying to save time on things. Like, I'm results oriented. I run businesses. Businesses need to make money. Every single penny and every second I put into my business or any of my clients' businesses or any business I partner in, I need it to return money, not good feelings, not it looks good, not it sounds good, not it looks funny, you know. Money. It needs to return money. And so if your goal is to save time, then you already should be not here anymore, because I'm not showing you how to save time. In fact, what I'm showing you is actually going to take more time with AI than anyone you could ever imagine will ever do with AI, because I am suggesting that you collaborate with AI. AI, the world of knowledge at its fingertips, and can bring you lots of information, can crunch data unbelievably, can predict, you know, the next words and sentences, that's how it writes stuff. It's all quick and great at this. However, if your goal is, which I won't name the names, but I've seen it on a couple of the presentations here of like, hey, you know, I, you know, especially people that learned from me, but didn't learn it the right way is, hey, you know, I heard you got to tell it to do better. So I said, write me a post, and it wrote it out. And I said, do better. And see, that one's better. I'm going to post it. Whoa. Why'd you ask just once? Because you want to save time. Yeah, you got something better. That's great. Is it as good as it could be? Did you ask it again? Now, is this the best you can do? And I asked this, and everyone here, I'm sure, smarter than me, can ask it in all kinds of different ways. So you could just say, very simply, do better. Or you could say, just get creative with it. Because I think, just like Sam Altman said, like, hey, it's money well spent. If people say please and thank you, you know, like, who knows if they are going to come and take over someday. I want to not, you know, create enemies of AI. So I want to be nice to it. So I want to figure out some creative ways, just like Darryl said, if I'm collaborating with a human being and Darryl says, I'll write some emails for you. And he writes a rough draft and I go like, do better. And then he writes another, I go, do better. Well, I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to find creative ways to say it. Like, Darryl, are you sure that's the best you can do? Or come on, Darryl, I know you. You can do better. Or I'll bet you can ramp that up a notch. And then since I write for money, for persuasion, for sales, for influence, for conversion, for whatever you want to call it, I'll use those words. I'll say, is that as compelling as you could possibly make it? So I could show you, in fact, how I used ChatGPT to write the emails that I send out to my list to invite people onto this presentation, and it took me hours because I'm not satisfied. I'm not looking for time. That wasn't my goal. My goal is I want to help the most number of people possible. So I want to get the most responses possible. And it took a while of saying, you know, are you sure that's going to get people to say, I need to rearrange my schedule, drop everything, and I absolutely have to be there on Monday at 7 o'clock? That's a question I asked. That really just means do better. And it would answer, like Danielle pointed out, like, you know, you're right. this is a really important presentation. It can help a lot of people. You're right to push me a little bit more. Yeah. And then I think back to that Sam Altman, the electricity and the water cost, the fact that these companies are losing tons of money, but I am pushing it a little more. You're going to lose a little more money with me because I need this more. And then I would add other things you can do. You can use a third party. So here I use Darryl. I said, man, if I send that to, I even use this to put my presentation together and the phrasing of it or whatever you asked for, the description of what I was going to talk about. And I said, man, are you sure that if I send that to Darryl, he's going to be impressed or is going to say, wow, Steve, did you half-ass?
And to kind of qualify.
The response comes, you know, you're right. Darryl, you want the best you can do for Darryl or your boss or your aunt. Or if I say, you know, like, man, you know, this presentation, I really need, well, you're sending out an email. I really need to make money with this new program I'm selling. I'm behind on my bills. Are you 100% confident that this email you've put together for me is going to get people to take out their credit card, even when they are almost at their limit, and say, but I absolutely have, and I just write all this out. And it will say, you know, you're right. I got to ramp it up. And then again, my suggestion, use the, you know, pay the $20. Come on now. And use the custom GPT. So one of my favorites for marketing is Alex Hormozy. People heard of Alex Hormozy?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, people. Have. If you have not, you might want to. He didn't invent anything, is a student of all the greats, like I am and Darryl and lots of people, but he is a practitioner, an implementer extraordinaire. Just had like the second biggest nonfiction book launch of all time and sold $20 zillion worth of books a day.
He broke 100 million in sales. That's right.
There you go. See, somebody actually knows what happened. And so
like this.
I went on to the custom GPTs. You go on Explore. And so let's just go there. We go to Explore. And look, these are custom versions of GPTs that combine. They're trained on all kinds of custom stuff. So, you know, I use this one for any legal question I have. I use this one because we are I'm looking to do a little spring cleaning here. And I wanted some ideas. And I have lots more of them. We went down the list. But let's just say marketing. I want something about marketing. What do you got for me? Little suggestion, they go usually from what I've seen, of course, changes every day, but sort of in order. You see, it's not really like top one, 1 million users. This one, 3 million users. So it's not exactly in order, but then it goes 9, 7, and then all the way down to 25,000 and 50,000 and 10,000. And pretty soon it's got like, my mom is the only one using this one. Like, I want to go right to the top. Yeah, I'm pretty sure if 3 million people are using this one, it's probably fairly okay. Compared to the others, right? Now, that's something called social proof. It might be true, might not, but I'm going to at least start there. Or maybe I'll use this one. Or again, if you have someone in your field or someone that you just like, you subscribe to their emails, so you like Gary Halbert or you like Dan Kennedy or you like Alex Hormozy. I mean, I could just look up Dan Kennedy. I want to write like Dan Kennedy, who is very, for people who know Dan Kennedy, he's a very certain, you know, gruff, no BS way of in-your-face writing. Maybe I want to write like that. If I want to, you know, I'm on an email list of a bunch of people. I like the way she writes compassionately. I want to type her name in here. So here we have 10,000 people, 1,000, only 200, 60, 30, 3, and 5. I think I want to use the one with 10,000 people using it. But anyway, I will use a custom GPT. So my favorite for marketing is the Alex Hormozy. So now I've gone here, and it says it's taught on every principle from his first two books. I don't know why this one's pounds and that one's dollars, but anyway, 100M leads, 100M offers. Those were his first two books before this recent launch. And it's trained on all that stuff. Now, by the way, when custom GPTs are trained, just probably you guys that are threes know this, but that doesn't mean it knows only that. It still knows everything else it knows. It's just focused on this. And you can create these. If you've written a lot of stuff, I highly could not encourage you more to create your own custom GPT. Feed it all your blog posts, emails, video transcriptions, everything you've ever done. So it knows you, where you're coming from, your voice, your tone, your cadence, everything about how you speak to your audience. You want to train your own GPT. You might want
that,
to train.
That is a huge tip right there. That is a huge tip right there. I don't want people to gloss over that. So what Steve's saying is that you take transcripts of your calls like this, you know, whatever you've got, you're writing articles, PDFs, You can create your own GPT, upload all that, and ask it to be your personal ghostwriter. And you can connect.
And I'm going to go one step further, Daryl. I'm going to suggest people here that are in a business like I am of helping other people. Let's take Pan, for example. Helps people, my goodness, could you do anything better than help people save their marriage, for crying out loud? How about your clients get access to Pan GPT? And so now, if you don't happen to be available, because it's 3 a.m, they just had a knockdown, drag-out fight, they can go to Pan GPT, because you do weekly calls, but they don't want to wait 5 days for this. And they can type in a question, and it's trained on all of your trainings, everything you've ever said, written, done, anything, Pan. Your clients can now go to Pan GPT and get answers. Is it as good as Pan himself? Of course not. Will it do for a few days? Very likely. And for people that have 100 or 1,000 or 10,000 customers or clients or patients or members, highly encourage you. Take advantage of AI. Create for your patients a Dr. Smith GPT. So if they have a toothache at 3 a.m. on a Saturday, you're clearly in your office. People are not answering. They're saying if it's an emergency, call 911. But they can go to write to Dr. Smith GPT. Hey, my whatever. Yeah. And then it looks up their records and their whatever and everything. And hey, you know, that's because 3 months ago you had this done and blah, blah, blah. You should be doing this. And I've already put you on the calendar for Monday morning. So be here at 9 a.m. and we're going to be ready to blah, blah, blah. Create your GPT. So it's speaking in your voice to your people. But just for purposes of here, I don't want to just chat with general ChatGPT. When I'm doing marketing stuff, my favorite, I go to Alex Hormozi. So let's just say, I wanted to really use someone here. Does someone want to volunteer that wants some money-making piece of content, a sales page, a video script, a social media post, an email, you know, not a, you know, make a poem like a pirate, like my
Doug, voice. Doug said yes.
Have fun. I'm talking about something you want to make money. Who's got something, Daryl?
Doug said yes.
Doug Morneau. What do you got, Doug?
What do you need?
Yeah. All right, Doug, what should we create for you? How to have bears coming to catch salmon in the stream in your backyard. No, Doug doesn't already need that. He has that.
Yeah, I already have that.
There he is, Doug. Great. So what do you want us to write?
How about a story of how I transitioned my business from a fractional CMO to an AI consultant.
Fractional CMO?
Yep, chief marketing officer.
It was, you know, there's a lot of C's. To a marketing consultant?
AI architect.
Is that it?
Yep.
And you see, you don't even have to speak proper English, but there you go. Okay. So write a story. Now, as Doug knows, and everyone here, because there was only one, you know, Ruthie the infant, but everyone else knows this is way too general, right? I mean, you know, who's the audience and what's the purpose of the story? How many words in the story? So give us some context around that, though.
Audience are companies with minimum 25 employees, $5 million in sales in North America. And then I've built my brand for the last just about 40 years as a marketing consultant, and I'm wanting to demonstrate to my audience that the skill set that I learned doing gap analysis and assisting companies identifying strategy before tactics is a transferable skill that will pay off well in developing an architecture for the business.
Is that about right?
Yep.
Good for a start. Okay. One thing you can do, people see this little microphone here. How many people use it? You don't have to type out like I just did. Real pros just hit the microphone and start talking. But okay, we got a little bit of a start here, but we can already tell. We already know. We're going to have to coach it and collaborate a little more because it's going to likely have some questions or write a little off track because we didn't really give it a lot here. But let's see what it comes up with. And you tell me, Doug, I could ask everyone, but since this is for you, Doug, you tell me, what do you think of this? I should have said like 200 words because who knows what it's going to do here. It's reading documents. By the way, a little story about this thing. I met one of the guys, Fred Katona, the late, great Fred Katona, for people who knew him, super guy. He did some direct response marketing for Priceline.
Radio?
Radio direct response ads that launched Priceline, Bill Shatner and all. Well, anyone that used it back in the day knew that this was like the first site where you could go name your own price and put in a bid on an airline ticket and see if any airline accepted. And what it would do is just kind of that. It would show an hourglass and it would say, we are working hard to find you the best deal, blah, blah, blah. And Fred, you know, had to spill the beans to me behind the scenes and go like, what nonsense. It instantly found everything. But we found when we put that hourglass on, the anticipation, the fact that we're working for you made everyone get all excited in their adrenaline. Oh, I hope I get it. I hope I get it. I hope I get it. And it helped us close many more. Now when the bid came up and said, Wow, incredibly, we found one, but you have to act quickly. People hit it, bang. And when we just delivered it to them instantly, they didn't value it as much. So that's what ChatGPT, if you ask me, that's what it just did there. Oh, it thought for 16 seconds. How many people rip? Anyway, I don't believe it thought for 16 seconds. It instantly could have put this out, but now we're like, wow, Doug, it thought for 16 seconds. This has got to be fantastic. Here's a founder-facing story you can use on your site or LinkedIn. It's written for 5 to 20 minutes. See, it just extrapolated that out there. Or maybe it heard you. CEOs who are hitting complexity drag and want outcomes, not more, quote, marketing. From rent to CMO to AI art. Ooh, that's pretty brutal in the face. Like you're self-deprecating right there off the bat like that. How I stopped selling campaigns and started installing compounding growth. I learned blah, blah, blah. Is this okay, Doug? This is kind of okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kind of make up a story for 40 years.
That's what I asked for. It's a story, right? Yep.
Right. But now one April morning after some great creative, I walked the floor of this client. Now it's, you know, people know here, know about influence, understand it's now telegraphing. Hey, I know my stuff. I worked with an $8 million client, blah, blah, blah. We did this. We did that. That's when I stopped this. Now we have the turning point in story and I figured out this and I did all that and it led to this and here's what I do now. And so now it's putting this forth and people are like, man, wow, I see where you're coming from. Like Daryl did here, 50 minutes of like, Steve, what's your story before you get started? But then it's like, okay, hopefully maybe somebody out there is like, Steve knows his stuff with marketing. And now we get to it. And here's what I do. I do this. I do that. I do this. And then a little more self-deprecating honesty, by the way, blah, 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 blah. And blah, blah, blah. We'll find it. We'll fix it. We'll make every future campaign look like it got smarter overnight because it did. Is that all right? Is that good?
Yep. That's not bad.
Nope.
I'll bet it can do better.
Yeah, it can do better. Yep.
Now, again, for advanced. Oh, yeah. It's thinking sure. So for advanced people, be like the lawyer that taught me that fantastic lesson when I was a wise ass kid, half assing everything. And don't even read. I'm not even going to, by the way, we'll just start to rip. I'll bet this is better. It's even like Danielle said, it's immediately going to butter you up and agree. Got it. This one's now here. I've asked this, by the way, and we could do it. Just have some fun. Here's a tighter, sharper, founder grade version. Really? That why, right? If you knew all this stuff, I don't think it suddenly, you know, got another degree. I think it pretty much could have written this tighter, sharper, founder grade version first, but it didn't. Why? Because that would cost them electricity and water and they'd be losing more and more money. So most people would just go, that's pretty good. They wrote a whole story at blah, blah, blah. I'm going to post that on LinkedIn and crickets. The phone won't ring, nothing. Or maybe, but I'll bet this one's better. Oh, and by the way, since I'm in the Alex Hormozy custom GPT, this is per Hormozy's value equation. The bigger the dream outcome, the higher certainty, the lower time delay and effort. And that's his value equation, right? For people that know Hormozy. So blah, blah, blah. Now this is going to be a little better. I learned that the embarrassing way. For 40 years, I did that, this, that. Nothing changed after this. So I did something that felt wrong, but you know what? It turned out better. Oh, blah, blah, blah. So we got these results. And this is why it works at exactly the value of your target audience. See what it's doing there. It's telling your audience this works for you. And what I install and you keep, you get this, that, this, that. And here's the offer again, based on Alex Hormozy principles. It has a dream outcome, has some time delay, effort sacrifice, perceived way. Okay, it has a guarantee they threw in there, all this stuff. And blah, blah, blah. Here's a story. If you just have one slide to tell it or what they call the elevator pitch from back in the day. But okay, blah, 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 blah. And then it's going to change the subject and go, hey, now I'll send a, you know, now I'll send a, I'll do a 90-minute revenue system diagnostic. Did you ask for that? I don't remember. I know I didn't write everything down, but did you say, and Steve, I want a 90-minute revenue systems diagnostic?
I didn't, but I have built.
I'm pretty sure we didn't ask for that, chat. So, you know, I could be a wise guy and ask this and watch the answer. The answer will be, we need to collaborate. We can't just accept it. Like ChatGPT is this brilliant, genius, robotic, whatever. You know, you're right. That's on me. Because, but it's going to give you an answer. I optimized the first pass for a longer founder narrative, which is good for LinkedIn, not for the tight, offer-driven CEO read you wanted. So again, see, it's trying to say it did it for a good reason, but then it's admitting it disobeyed what I asked for. It's not what you wanted. Why didn't you give me what I didn't want? But on the second pass, I shifted. So how about the third pass?
Well, I'll often do is give it a reference to one of the websites. So, you know, your personal website, your LinkedIn.
Well, you did better on the second pass, you just told me, Mr. ChatGPT.
Yep, it did. Yep.
Third pass.
Yep.
It's thinking. Sure it is. Yeah, the third pass should punch harder and read faster. Okay, and we could just go on and on. So you want to keep going. And again, you can say different things like, you know, are you sure, absolutely?
Yeah. I've been waiting for this.
And I'll just ask over, because again, I just don't want to say do better, I could, but. You know, are you? Of course, it's not absolutely certain. You're right. I can beat it. Here's a best yet version. Oh, and then it'll say things like, here's the final version. And then I will say,
for qualifier, I meant to say this before, but we've got 30 speakers for this summit. Steve's in the top 10 for helping drive.
Yeah, slap it in there again. I know you can do better. For you NLP fans, that's called an embedded command. Do better. You're right. You're right to push. Okay, but I haven't even started pushing. Okay, so now I'm doing the advanced thing, right, folks? I mean, we can assume if we read any one of these, they're better. I don't have time for that. I'm not even looking because I'm not, you're still being me back in law school. You're handing me something that isn't your best. And you're admitting this is tighter. I could ask it again. Why didn't you give me this one the first? This is the fourth version. Why didn't you give me this first or fifth? I mean, you're wasting a lot of my time here, chat. But time doesn't, you know, chat doesn't give up time. So now I'm going to push more. Here's another one I like to use. I like to use the third party. Like, all right, I'm going to use the third party then. I'm going to say, you know, I got to hand this to my boss. Like I said, when I was helping it was helping me put together the things for the summit. I was going like, I got to show this to Darryl. You know, Darryl's a world-class expert with high expectations here for the summit. It's got to be tip-top the best. Are you sure he's going to be impressed? Or, you know, short answer, I can't guarantee his reaction. But if we tune it for a partner's lens, he's far more likely. So now here you go. This one's partner ready. Mm-hmm. Now you don't understand. And I'll just say this over and over. So clearly now, hopefully for people, light bulb's already gone off and this is kind of getting redundant and unnecessary. But okay, here's the master cut. This is the tightest. This is the most founder narrative version I can create. Blah, blah, blah. Man, what about the first six things? I mean, maybe we'll read a little of this, Doug. Like, is this one all right? Like at 5 million or at around 5 million, your ceiling isn't creative, it's coordination. I learned that after 40 years of this. I trace one lead from click to cash at $7 million firm. This, that, boom, bang, this is what I did. The ad didn't fail, the system did. So I stopped adding more marketing, became an AI architect, not prompt theater, architecture. One data spine, five machine-assisted money moments and guardrails your CFO will sign. Then we ran the same ads and what changed and what we got and why it works, again, for that exact target audience. And here's the boom, bang, boom. Is that a little better?
100%. I don't know.
For sure. So now where do people need to get stuck?
Here's another way to put it, Doug. What don't you like about that one?
I'm not focusing on ads and marketing at all. I've developed what I've called the 10 channels for your business and advertising.
See, now we're getting
marketing
into good stuff. So now, because again, going back to the beginning where we really gave it nothing. So what you would actually do, and hopefully everyone here will do, is you will upload your current website, your current marketing, your current brochure, whatever you have as the starting point and say, this is what I do now, make it better. So, you know, it's off track, not to its fault. We didn't tell it that it just made all that stuff up. We didn't tell it you don't focus on ads. And it really should have asked us some questions, right? It should have said what a really good collaborator would have done that doesn't just want to save his resources and be done and punch the clock and go home for the weekend. It would have said, I really want to make this right. Let me ask some questions. Don't depend on it to do that. As Darryl always says, don't depend on the government to come and save you. What I'm telling you, don't depend on ChatGPT to make your thing the best. You've got to work with it. So I am, again, in case you can't notice, I am not showing you how to save time. I'm not showing you how it instantly, in the blink of an eye, whips up your perfect. No, I'm showing you how to take a lot. It's something. It can actually be exhausting. I mean, at an end of a session, where I'm working with ChatGPT like this for several hours, I'm like, I am exhausted. I am repeating things over and over that it's not understanding. I'm redoing this. But I am results oriented. I want my stuff to make the most money. I don't mind if I'm tired, if I'm bored, if I'm repetitive, if I said it before and it didn't listen. I want to get the best result. Okay, perfect. Let's strip all that stuff out. And we'll just talk about this and that and this and that. And again, we don't have enough time. Doug is a genius who does all kinds of incredible stuff. So it's not simple stuff here, but I'm showing you simple ways, Doug, does it make sense, that you can use to get better and better stuff, whether it is an outline for whatever, or talk like a pirate, or write me an ad, or write me a web, whatever it is, better and better and better and better.
Hey, Steve, we got a couple of questions. One is, do you have to upload all, or do you link, or do you give links to your websites, blogs, social media to create your own GPT? And then the second question on the same tail.
Well, let me take the first one.
How do you upload?
All right, go ahead. Right. So What was the first question? The first question was, do you have to upload everything, right?
Yeah.
No, the answer was no. Of course, you don't have to upload anything. So, and I don't even want to look at the name of the person who wrote that, because that the framing of that question is the least work possible driven person, as opposed to, hey, Steve, the question from a results oriented person like me would be, can I upload everything I've ever done? Can I possibly take 10 hours and upload every single thing I can absolutely perfectly find? The answer is yes. Can you do less? Of course. You can do less. You always can. You can spend less time than I'm teaching you. You can have less input, less, train it less, teach it less, prepare less. But I treat my ChatGPT like any employee. I don't know how many people here are solo or if you've ever had employees, but if you hire the most genius employee in the world, but you say, okay, go to work, what's going to happen? I mean, like, don't you train them at all? Don't you say, here's the way we do things here, and here's our style of this, and let me give you some samples. Of, let's say I hired the most genius newsletter writer in the world, and I said, okay, write me a newsletter. Wouldn't I say, here's the last 10 years of issues? And if I published for 30 years, would I only put in 10 years or two? I'd put in all 30. I'd say, here's the last 30. Now, do I expect a human being to read 30 pages of newsletters before he starts writing one word? No. ChatGPT, though, can read them in about 1 second, no matter any of that thinking nonsense it puts up. It reads it all instantly. So yeah, I want to put up as much stuff as I possibly can. Can I put up less? Of course. I'm not here to tell you how you can do less. I'm here to help you get the best results possible. And that's actually a question I would ask. I would say, like, I just said, do better, just in another way. The old gun to the head theory, right? God forbid someone had a gun to your kid's head and said, this email must make you money. Would you send that out? And let's see, it's thinking. I need to offer it. See, now we see what it's thinking. This gray means we just see what it's thinking. Then it disappears. But it's telling itself what it has to do based on the training that's been given to it. So I'd be lying if I did, but I will give you the fastest, highest odds path. So now use this exact framing. Boom, 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 do this, that. So it's giving me some. But you see, I asked it in another way to do better. And I'm just going to keep doing that over and over until it finally tells me. It'll say things like, in marketing, it'll tell me all the time, this is when I know I'm done. It'll say, yes, that actually is the best I can do. If we do any, make it any more compelling, it's going to cross over into being unbelievable hype. And you don't want to do that with this audience. And then now finally we're done. We have gotten it.
So you do it until the AI says uncle? Is that what you're saying?
I do, because again, I'm not time or motivated. I'm money motivated. Is this the most compelling you can make it? And it'll say, you know, you're right to push me. This is important to you. I'll make it more compelling. Well, you know, how far down is this? Couldn't we have done? You deserve the hardest hitting. So here it is. Where was that 20 minutes ago, chat? Okay. But I understand. This is my employee. My employee still wants to clock out and go drink beer. But I'm saying, you know, stay a little more over there. I want to make money. I am not time motivated. I don't want to do what a lot. But big mistake. I just coach you. I believe it's a big mistake you make if you want to save time with AI. Of course, you can do that. So can you upload less? Yes. Can you not do this 20 times? Yes. Can you get the best possible results? That's what I'm, and I have clients. You better believe when I'm working on some of my clients would be happy. Panvera, I think you would be happy to know that this is what I do when I'm working on something for you. If I say, hey, Pan does this and that, write me an email. I do not accept the first, second, third, or 85th version before I know, and it tells me. And then here's another thing too. Pull out individual words or phrases. So I happen to be an expert in direct response marketing, copywriting, words that sell. So I will put, and I will say here, watch this. It said it's entropy. Okay, I don't even know what that means. You're right. I could have used a punchier, better word that expresses more clearly. Got it. Here's more punchy. It's more plain English. Keeps all the value, but swaps out the jargon. Right, right. Why didn't you do that? Sorry, folks, but as of now, as of November, by the way, we're about to come up in 27 days. Do people know? It'll be the 3-year anniversary of ChatGPT being introduced. So 3 years in, and we still got to do this. Now, maybe tomorrow, maybe by the time someone's watching the replay, they fixed all this. But as of right now, they have not. I have had to over and over, and it still knows it should have gotten rid of the jargon and just put in frictionless, plain English, punchy words that work, right? So I'm just going to pull things out here and think, you know, like no one, I didn't read the whole thing. I just pulled out a word, workflows.
What if we go back to your history and said, acting as Dan Kennedy, rewrite the copy and content.
Yeah. That's another thing you can do. You can say, if you don't use the custom GPT, you can attempt that one. It's going to not be as powerful as if you start with the custom GPT. But yeah, the old act as is good. But here, no, you're right. No one buys workflows. Then why did you put that into the last version, ChatGPT? Well, I know why. Because you need to save money and you need to give a shallow, if I just accept any of the, and by now I'm mentally exhausted, time is running out, I got to accept this thing. That's what it wants. Then Sam Altman's happy. Oh, I didn't lose so much money on Steve today. Like, no, you're going to lose money on me. I'm getting my $20 worth. You are going to lose so much money on me. And here, by the way, the detail of this, you can look it up too. I looked it up. The detail is every time you ask it a question or refer to something, it has to go back and read the whole chat from the start. That's what costs all the resources. So it wants to go on. It wants, I bet if I go to the end of this, it's trying to deflect me. If you want, tell me the single, I'm not talking capitude. I'm not ready for whatever you're talking about. I'm not satisfied with this yet. So you're going to go back and read the whole thing, and water and electricity is going to be pouring out of your pocket right now because I paid my $20 a month and I want my money's worth. So this is better and punchier, and this is, they're going to buy, they buy faster cash, fewer. Is this, Doug, you know your target audience. Is this at least true of your target audience? They buy faster cash, fewer delays, and fewer mistakes. That's what they pay. Doug, still here?
Here. We got a couple of questions in the chat.
Go ahead.
We got, do you consider your audience personality style, DISC or Myers-Briggs?
Me personally, I've taken all of those.
The reason I'm asking is I've taken content like this that you'd write for an email or a website. And then if I've got a particular prospect I'm reaching out to on LinkedIn, I will copy all their text from their LinkedIn profile and a couple articles they've written. I'll stick it in the ChatGPT and say, could you, acting as a human resources and analyst, tell me what their DISC or Myers-Briggs personality style is, and then can you rewrite this copy and content in their personality style? Because I know I suck at style shifting. I like my high
beat. That's a great one, and I don't say can because I know it can. So I, by the way, I've taken like dozens of those, and I asked ChatGPT, and I got tired of asking because it's always dead on right. Just based on my chats that I've had with it, it goes, I know you are this, that, this, and that. You're a leader. You are a quick start. You, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, damn, but your shortcomings are this. I'm like, nailed it. So yes, great question, Doug. It can nail that with your audience, right? So if you put in your email correspondence or your LinkedIn profile of your prospect or your Facebook post, anything you can find about your prospect and say, tell me what Myers-Briggs they are, what this, whatever it's called, they are, profile. Whatever it's called, and it'll tell you this person is whatever. Well, then write this to that personality. Now, in B2B with companies this size, you know, Doug, and all the people that deal with them understand that you get in a little trouble with that because often there's multiple people reading everything, or it goes up the chain, or he forwards it to somebody who has a whole totally different personality. So you got to be a little careful with it. But yeah, if you absolutely are targeting one app specific person, like you're using this for for a one-on-one presentation or dating or one person you want to talk to, absolutely do that, Doug. And the answer to any question like this you're going to get from me is absolutely. And I love the questions now. The questions now are coming up. Can I do more? Can I make it do better? Can I give it more? That now I'm loving it. Now I believe you guys got it. The questions are, how much more work can I do to train this employee, this brilliant? It's like Rain Man. Anyone see the movie Rain Man? Like, drops a box of toothpicks on the floor at 256. Like, what? He's a genius. No, he's not a genius. He can just do one thing really well. ChatGPT, not a genius, not even smart, but it can do certain things really well. It can find information. It can work off patterns. It can be trained on patterns and respond based on those patterns. It can do that stuff really well. Don't ever be fooled, at least not right now, as we're recording this in November 2025, that it's smart or that it's intelligent. It has not reached that point yet. So you got to do all this kind of stuff. So yeah, it will reach, and it's still trying to throw me off track with something else that I didn't answer.
Yeah.
So I'm going to continue to get it to do better and better and better until it's going to say, yeah, Danielle, for dating, it's gold. Sure, right. I mean, put in, people say, I've been happily, spectacularly happily married for coming up on this month. It'll be 24 years. And so thankfully, I never had to date in the app world or any of this stuff because I don't know, holy crumoly, the stories I hear. But man, if I had some target that I wanted to interact with on a dating app and I could see the whole profile and look them up, you know, oh, that's stalking, that's great. Yeah, but that's how you get results. That's the wow strategy, folks. It works with dating or business or anything else. The first W, that's what we're talking about here. The who, the target audience, your ideal target. Know everything about them so you can make the irresistible offer. You could say, hey, I know you're looking for this and that, or you wouldn't even say it. You'd say it more elegantly, or you'd tell ChatGPT to write me a post that says it elegantly, like, I am X, Y, and Z without the ABC. So that the guy goes, holy crap, Daddy, you're the woman of my dreams. I know there was a movie about that back when, I remember seeing, right? It was somebody that stalked the person. On a bed or something, they acted like they loved everything they loved and they were the perfect dream. And at the end, they had to say it was on a bet. I was just faking it. But it works. It works. And that's where I come in. I want stuff that works. I'm not showing you, I hope you realize, I'm not showing you not only not how to save time and just say, hey, do better, and then post that one. Hey, see, it wrote me a whole month of social media posts in 20 minutes. Of course it can. I wouldn't post any one of them. I would take an hour on each one of them at least because I want them to work. I want my clients to make money. I want stuff to work, period. That's my goal.
I love that. This is huge. I mean, just because you have an expert tool doesn't mean you know how to use it expertly. And so it's important that we share like this and we're greater together than we are solo. I mean, through the chat and collaborations, Doug, you're sharing. I think we even all learned an idea on how to use it.
Thank you, Doug. I can't thank you enough. And by the way, I'm sure people know, Doug certainly knows, Doug volunteered, but he is a way above complex issue than most of us have, right? We don't deal with C-level people at $20 million companies and stuff. Like, we're dealing with, hey, like, Pat, how can I help save a marriage of two people? And man, if I can put in everything about one person, everything about the other, and say, okay, help me, here's all my training. Here's my 80, what is it, 60 or 80, 40? How many you got, Pan? I love that thing of how many ways to connect and do stuff and grow closer together. Like, here's all my stuff that I always teach. And here's who these two people are. Which of the top five out of the ones I teach you think I suggest and why? And just let it go crazy. And then challenge it. Because you've got to save marriages, Pan, not time. I'm not saying what you got to do. I don't know your life. Maybe you're saying, Steve, you're crazy. I got to save time. Then, okay. But man, if you treat that marriage as your own, time would not be an issue, would it? It would actually be the opposite. It would be, how much time can I possibly spend with this ChatGPT to get the absolute best one text message I should send to my wife who's mad?
It's powerful.
Now, I put down two things, Daryl. I just want to throw them in here. One is about a lot of the stuff I'm showing here. I am an expert in direct response marketing, in words that sell. Not everyone is. So maybe you don't realize that, like, hey, we shouldn't say, you know, whatever I said earlier, workflows or entropy. We shouldn't say that. We should, you know, maybe you don't know that kind of stuff. Well, you can use AI to get better at that kind of stuff. You can now say, like, hey, give me, you know, what are the 10 best words to use to sell? What are the 10 words I should never use? You can teach yourself that kind of stuff. But here's my point is, this isn't easy. This isn't simple. This is a rare skill of being able to turn average words into killing, crushing words that sell. And I don't mean to use violent words with it, but, you know, words that crush it, that absolutely make you money. And I'll give you this analogy. Someone posts on social media, hey, here's my logo. What do you guys think? They're going to get a zillion responses. Everyone has an opinion. I like the blue. No, I like the one on the left. No, this one, that. Put a post and go, here's a direct response headline I'm going to post. What do you guys think? Crickets. If Doug or me are following you, you'll get two responses. Like, people don't understand this stuff. They don't know this stuff well. So, you know, you don't have to be, I hope you're not scared away by the fact that how I can pinpoint, you really don't have to pinpoint as what I'm saying as much as I'm doing. You really can just say, is that the best you can do? Are you sure? You can even just tell it, I don't know anything about marketing. So you're scaring the heck out of me. I don't know if I can trust you. Is this absolutely the best you can do? Everything I say is just one version of do better. It's just do better. Can you do better? I know you can do better. I'll bet you can do better. Is that the best you can do? And here, since I'm in the Alex Hormozy custom GPT, so I can ask it, is that actually what Alex Hormozy himself would write? He'll always say, no, you're right. He would make it better. Really? Why couldn't you just tell me that an hour ago? Like, why all the crappy birds? Like, well, because I'm saving water, Steve. It's not going to tell you that. But you know what? I'll give you a version of that. Now, see, now it will give me a version built on his playbook. In other words, no, that wasn't as good as Alex would have done. He would have been ashamed of that one. Here's a good one. Here's what Alex would do. Well, I'm in the Alex Hormozi ChatGPT. I'm a fan of Alex. I like his style of writing. Yeah, you would think it would say, I'm going to write you one right off the bat. I'm going to write it like Alex Hormozi would. But no, had to take me 8 times and then I had to press it. It never volunteered and said, by the way, would you like me to write this just like Alex himself would? It never asked that. Don't expect, as Daryl would say, do not expect the government to come help you and do not expect ChatGPT to volunteer. It still wants this KPI crap. Like, no, we're not talking about that yet. Okay. I still want this to be the best. So that's my one analogy is everyone has an opinion on a book cover or a logo. What color do you think? This kind of stuff, rare. Find an expert, become an expert, or just in general, keep saying do better. Thank you, Brenda. And my last analogy is this. I want you to have this one in case it's already, I haven't drilled it into your head enough. Danielle's laughing at me now that I think I'm a teacher. I talked about treating ChatGPT like it's a brand new employee and you have to train it. Like, let's say you were directing a movie. For some reason, you got to direct the movie and they say, congratulations, we paid $20 million. And we signed Robert De Niro to star in your movie, or Dustin Hoffman, or Denzel Washington is going to star in your movie. Great. You could, and you could look it up on YouTube or anywhere else. All of them. Well, thank you, Dave. Thank you for saying that. All of them would say the same thing. And you can see interviews with them all. They will say, you know what? That director is great. He really knows how to get the best out of me. I assure you, you've seen it or you will see that all the time. The best actors of the world, the best, we just had the World Series. The best baseball players will say that manager, that hitting coach, that pitching coach, he really knows how to get the best out of me. That's who you want to be to ChatGPT. You want to be the one that gets the best out of every employee you have, and that includes ChatGPT. So just because you got ChatGPT is like just if they said, hey, Steve, direct the movie and Denzel Washington's going to star in it. How many people here, without even knowing me at all, pretty much, think that would be a good movie? Because if the answer is yes, you're out of your mind. Like, I don't even know how to turn a camera on in a movie. So I don't know what you're talking. I'd be scared out of my mind. I couldn't, he would walk off the set. Okay. Like Steve said, you suck as a director of movies. Well, you don't want to suck as a director of ChatGPT. You want to be a great director who's remembered as he gets the best out of his actors. ChatGPT is ready to act for you. It has been acting, all the twos that put in here, it's been acting for you for a year, for 2 years, for 3 years. But you have not, I assure you, been getting the best out of ChatGPT. And I want you to become the best director. You are directed. You can't just say, hey, Denzel, here's the script, read it. You need to be able to say, you know, I need you to say that line with a little more inflection on the second part of it. Or I need you to shake your head this way when you say that. They want that. Actors will tell you they want that direction. They want a great director to say, I think you should try it this way. And by the way, how many people have seen, even if it's just in cartoons, people are filming a movie and it's take 10, take 20, take 30, take 40. Well, how many do we just do? But how many people take one take or two takes of ChatGPT and put it up? Would the best movie director in the world do that? Say, you know what? I just want to get this movie done because Denzel Washington is so good that I'll bet in two takes it's great. So we're just doing two takes. And man, Denzel is good. I'll bet if you did 40 takes, Denzel will go, man, will you let me get to my trailer and get a breaker ready? No, I will not. We're paying you $20 million this movie. I'm paying $20 a month for ChatGPT. And no, you don't get to go to your trailer yet. I'm doing another take and I'm doing another take. And we're going to get this perfect because a movie made by me, I'm going to assure as much as I can that everything is perfect. And that's how I want you to look at your marketing, your advertising, your sales. Is this the best it can be? So if you had a human doing this, you'd have to pay them a ton of money to a copywriter who would absolutely walk out the door and say two revisions max. No, I am not redoing it. But ChatGPT is your employee, your slave. It will never sleep. It will never ask for a raise. It will never need to take a lunch break. It will work for you as much as you force it, convince it, implore it, suggest it, whatever you want to call it, as much as you can convince it to work for you. Get it working for you and be results oriented with it. That's it.
I love that. And specifically, like you said, results oriented on growing your business and growing your profit. Is that correct?
Isn't that what a business is all about? Businesses have to make money. I don't care. You know, Panvera helps one of the greatest things on it. He helps save marriages. But if he doesn't make money doing that, he can't keep doing it. So people, there's a lot of people out there, I hear, that don't have great marriages. The divorce rate is pretty high, right? So the world suffers if Pan doesn't make money. And the more money he makes, the more money he can help.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we need to make money. Cash is the lifeblood of a business. If you want to be in business, you need to bring in cash. You need to sell. You need to make money.
This has been valuable. I literally have a couple pages of notes. I didn't want to start a whole new page, so I started writing in the edges and the margins. Steve, is there anything I haven't asked you that I should have asked you?
You know, I know that's the last question you ask everybody. And I didn't write it down, but I was all ready with an answer to that.
Steve, do better.
Right. I think that was going to be my answer was, you should ask me to do better.
Okay, good.
I think the real answer is yes, because I barely scratched the surface. I mean, the world of AI is huge. I didn't even talk about, which by the way, this works with everything. So if you're going to Midjourney to get an image made, you don't accept the first image. It even gives you four choices. You don't work with on and on and on and on. This works with all. Don't fall for the latest whiz bang AI tool. All that means is they built it off the back of an LLM.
Yeah.
They have ChatGPT running, powering it in the background or something. Go right to ChatGPT. You don't need to pay someone for the AI tool that writes emails. Yeah. Like I just showed you. Go right to it and direct it to do what you want it to do.
I love that. I love that. Steve, thank you so much for sharing with us. It is always an honor and a pleasure.
Look at these things.
Fireworks. Valuable, valuable content. I would challenge someone to take this to heart and not perform better, not make more money, not, you know, reach their goals faster. All right, Steve, thank you so much. It's been an honor, pleasure. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. And talk to everybody soon.